Welcome to everyone. Tonight's topic is gay and lesbian Christians. Why do we stay in the church? And the format we're going to use tonight is to hear from five panelists, Jane Leonard, Lori Lippert, Jerry Terrell, Dan Spencer, and Dan Geslin. Each of them will share for about 4 or 5 minutes or so out of their own stories. And then we'll open it up to hear from all of you, take questions or hear your perspectives. It's not quite a forum in the regular Holden tradition, since there is going to be a little more presentation, but I'll just say what we usually say, which is that we'll end at 9:30 no matter what. That's kind of our one ground rule. Then what we'll do is take a 5-minute break, and then at 9:35 reconvene, and Scott Hosrud, the director, will preside over a sort of debriefing of the day. But I will end at 9:30 and invite you to certainly respond to the panelists with your own reflections, experiences, whatever. But we always ask that it be in a loving, caring way, not to attack our panelists, please. But certainly to respond. And then just to say again, Holden as an institution doesn't take official positions on anything. We're all Holden, all of us in this room, and we really want to hear from all of you as well as from our panelists. Who's starting?
I think I am.
Great. Jane, yeah, go ahead. Okay. Jane Leonard.
Well, first off, I want to say that Lori and I are partners, and I think we were asked to be on the panel because we are partners. We've been partners for 8 years, and it's a part of our spiritual journey too, which I think Lori will talk a little bit more about than I'm going to. What I wanted to talk about was why I stay in the church, two major reasons why I stay in the church. One is tradition, and one is that I do believe there is a God. And I want to just tell you a little bit about where I came from. I grew up Presbyterian, and it was what I consider a church family way back to when my great-grandparents first came to America. And I'll look on my mom's side really for the church tradition, although my father's side also was very into church, and I'll talk a little bit about that later on. But on my mom's side, my great-grandparents founded a church in northern Minnesota with other settlers, and I still belong to that church to this day, even though I also belong to Spirit of the Lakes. I maintain that membership because of the tradition and because of the love I have for those people there in the Waukon Presbyterian Church. And our family, I think, had different levels of spirituality. My great-grandparents, like I said, helped found the church. They were elders in that church. My parents helped start the St. Mark's United Presbyterian Church in Rockville, Maryland, way back in 1960. And they were elders in that church. And it seemed like we as children were destined to be in church and be leaders in the church. And clearly I wanted to be a part of that. I want to be a leader in all parts of my life. But I realized, and I realized that even more now, that I could never be an elder in the Presbyterian Church because I'm a lesbian. And I didn't really think about that until I was an adult, until I finally figured out that I was a lesbian. But anyway, I couldn't be an elder in the church of my origin. And so after high school, which is when I first realized that I put a name to what I was, a lesbian, I had my first experience with a woman in high school. And that was 15 years ago. In fact, this year I'm going back to my 15-year high school reunion with my partner. So that's another coming out thing. She's not so sure about it. But anyway, after high school, I pretty much realized that there was a kind of emptiness in my heart about church. I maintained my membership in the Presbyterian Church, and I went whenever I went home, and I went whenever I was up at my grandparents' in Minnesota. But I really wasn't giving of myself. I was just attending. And after I met Lori, it became clear to both of us that we wanted to have a spiritual home to share. And eventually we found Spirit of the Lakes. And Lori started attending first. And this was shortly after the first public worship. I think Dan's talked a little bit about Spirit of the Lakes being up and running for the past 20 months. And at the time that we arrived, it was just beginning its first public worship. There were probably about 20, 30 people. And so we became a part of that. And in a way, as I look back, I really did fulfill my destiny to be a leader in the church. I feel like Lori and I certainly helped get Spirit of the Lakes going. We weren't one of the original founders, so to speak, but we certainly were among the original people who helped get the church underway. And I became a member of the Representative Council, which is akin, I guess, to a Presbyterian elder, but certainly not. It's much more democratic and non-authoritarian. And so, you know, here I was still fulfilling this destiny of my family, and that was really important to me. But more so, I really got more than I bargained for. I was also challenged by Spirit of the Lakes to accept myself for who I am. I really, you know, I was out to some people at the time, but the past 20 months of my life have been incredible because I finally realized that I could be a Christian and a lesbian at the same time and kind of merge all these parts of my life and share spirituality with my partner. We consider ourselves a family, and we bought a house together. We talk about children. I don't think we're ever going to have children. We have plenty of nieces and nephews. But it was important to me to share that with her and with other people. And well, the first time I went to Spirit of the Lakes, I was really reluctant. I thought, oh gosh, you know, a gay church. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be in a Presbyterian church. That's what I was raised to be. First day I went there, I couldn't stop crying. And everybody goes through this at Spirit of the Lakes. I was crying tonight, in fact, hearing Dan speak again and singing the songs. But I realized that I had found a home there, and the thing that struck me so at our church was that we sing the same songs that I sang as a child, with different words, with words that are not patriarchal, and you know, as we sang tonight, God is not a man, God is not a woman, and that really hit me, and it really challenged me to not accept society as it is, but to just be myself and try to change what I could. It really made me be more honest with who I was. And I think that out of anything in my life, Spirit of the Lakes has helped me become a stronger Christian, and certainly a more well-informed Christian. The other thing that happened in Spirit of the Lakes is, and this is where my other grandparents come in, my father's grandparents. My grandmother died when I was 21, and I didn't really know her very much because I spent all my time in Minnesota, never went to Kansas where she lived. But she was a Congregationalist and quite a church leader, a church. She was Woman of the Year and all that kind of stuff in Kansas. And I feel her next to me every Sunday in church, and I feel as though she is there singing along with me. And she, of all my grandparents, I think would be most accepting of Lori and I. And I think that it even goes beyond acceptance in Spirit of the Lakes. It's just the way we are. It's not accepting or tolerating. It's just, this is the way life should be. And it's certainly helped me to see that life can be that way, that that there is hope for us all to live as one and not to separate people, not to label people. And I'll stop there.
I have to say, Lori, there's another seat up here in the front row if somebody wants. It looks like you're all standing room only here.
Go ahead, Lori. Sorry. I went on a hike today with Dan Spencer, and I said to him that I realized that I've been having a hard time finding my voice since I've been here at Holden. And I usually am pretty much outspoken in groups, and even when I'm saying kind of stupid things because I want to contribute to the process and the discussion. And I haven't really done that and participated in the seminars yet, and I've been trying to figure that out. And so we'll see what I come up with tonight. I think part of what's, it's very scary for me to be here in front of all of you and not really know any of you that well and not really know what you all think about me. And to put pretty vulnerable parts of my life out in front of you is pretty scary. But I think it's worth it because I really appreciate the process that we're all going through here. So I am willing to do that. And another reason that it's been hard for me to find my voice is that there are such articulate people here, like Dan Spencer and Dan Gesslin. After Vespers, I thought, oh, we peaked. They're all going to like come near and go, oh, ho hum. Also, there are so many. There's a different language here than I'm used to. I'm not theologically trained, and people have a lot of knowledge and study about the Bible and about their religious traditions, and I don't have that. And so it's a little scary for me to get up for fear that somebody's going to say, in chapter so-and-so, verse such-and-so. Well, gee, that's interesting. But I'm speaking tonight from my own experience, and I know that I am the greatest authority on my own experience, and so that's what I'm coming from. Dan, in his seminar, started his seminar with a personal location, and so I'll do just a little bit of that. I'm a 33-year-old white North American woman that was raised in an upper middle class background. I'm the youngest of seven children, and I was raised in a Catholic family. I had 12 years of Catholic education as part of my upbringing. I attended church through high school largely because my parents wanted me to, even though it didn't mean very much to me. I kind of went along to keep peace in the family. But then after I moved out and went to college, I started going to church on my own, continued in Catholic church, because I wanted to go to a spiritual place. I lived in a very academic school and campus, and I wanted to go to some place where I could have silence and where I could connect with my spirituality. So I continued for about 2.5 years going to the Catholic church in this little town. But the whole time I was there, I was like looking for something, and I spent the whole time that I would be there kind of struggling with being angry and trying to edit what was going on, trying to, you know, reconstruct what they were saying to fit my own life. And it was a lot of work, and it wasn't very spiritually fulfilling. And then one day when I was a junior in college and I was sitting in church, the text and the teaching was about, woman, thou shalt be subservient to thy husband as the church is to God. Talking for a little bit, right? And I said, what am I doing here? I said, this just doesn't do it for me, and I stopped going to church. and I didn't go to church for many years. And I dealt with a lot of other issues during those years, and at times didn't miss the church so much. But as I became more organized in the rest of my life, I became more aware of the hole in my life, the spiritual part of my life that wasn't being nurtured, and how much that was important to me. I tried several churches. I tried Catholic Church again, a kind of a neighborhood church. I tried a Catholic church that was real political and social activism, which stimulated me intellectually and stimulated me politically, but it didn't do anything for me spiritually. I always felt like I was leaving a political rally by the end of the church. And I always, I even went to a gay church, which was MCC, the Metropolitan Community Church. And for the first 30 seconds that I was in that church, I was like, oh, I have found it. I found this home. I found this place where I can be me. I'm not going to have to do all this editing. And then the song stopped and the service started, and I realized it was a totally different theology than I was comfortable with. And so that was the end of that experiment for me. In all of those churches, I still found myself editing what was going on, editing what was offensive to me, trying to find pieces of truth that resonated for me, and it was a lot of work always. I kind of said, okay, well maybe like the Christian tradition isn't it, and I tried a women's spirituality group where we created our own rituals, and that didn't quite do it for me either, although that stimulated me in some ways. I really missed that tradition. I really missed, those rituals didn't have meaning for me. And then I read about Spirit of the Lakes, that they were having their first public service, and I wanted to go for myself, and it was desperately important to me that Jane wanted to come with me. I knew that I was going to go on my own, but it was very important to me. I hoped, against all hopes, that she would want to come with me, because I really felt like this was something I wanted to share with her and to nurture our relationship together. And she came. She liked it. I'll speak briefly about why I stayed. Unlike the other places that I went to once or twice, I stayed at Spirit of the Lakes and became a member of Spirit of the Lakes. First and foremost, it nurtures me spiritually to be in this church. It starts with my own experience, and then I can move out into the world from there, and I can. My spirituality, it's like a window of speaking to my own experience so that I can let that in. I don't know if that's clear for people what I mean by that. I didn't have to edit everything. I didn't have to be defensive. The first few times I went, waiting for you to say something that was going to offend me. And I don't do that so much anymore. And when something does offend me, I can live with it and talk to you about it and go on. But it has been a safe place for me to explore and grow in my own spirituality. It is important for me to be in a church because it gives me tools for living my life. It gives the Bible back to me. This week, I can't believe, I told Esther Men that I can't believe I'm spending my summer vacations going to Bible studies. And asked her to not tell any of my friends. I got a little nervous when I saw Jane walk out of our room carrying a Bible. And that's kind of sad, really, but it's because the Bible has been used as a weapon against me so much that it's very scary to me. And this church gives the Bible back to me, and I can take the lessons from it and learn how to live my life. Um, the church gives me a community, which is based on shared experiences and shared values, where we're willing to struggle with our diversity. And it gives me that experience of living in community with my church is a model for me that I can take out into living in community with the world. It is also a place where I can feel integrated. It integrates my spirituality and my social activism and my need to live in community and my personal experience all come together in one place. And finally, but not least, it gives a depth and a shared foundation and an affirmation to me in my relationship with Jane to have a shared spiritual home. I guess I've gone on through my time. I have another list of reasons why it's hard to be part of the church and why I really struggled a lot when we first at Spirit of the Lakes started in discussion about joining the UCC and a mainline tradition, and all of those defenses and walls went up again, and I was one of the vocal ones to say, why are we doing this? What are we just trying to prove this to somebody? Are we trying to prove that we're legitimate by becoming part of a legitimate church? I don't need that. And that came a lot from my experience of being so totally discounted by the church as I've experienced it as a whole, which looks upon a core piece of who I am, a very integral part of my life, which is my relationship with Jane, which I know in my heart of hearts is about love and wholeness, and that there's nothing but good in this relationship that I have with this woman. And I know that with my whole being, and the church, as I've experienced it, has called that a sin and brokenness and sickness. And that's the part of me that is very scared of the church. I'll be quiet.
Wow. That's right. Quite a lot to follow.
Jerry Tyrrell. Okay, you're
here. My name's Jerry Tyrrell, and I'm just going to wing it here. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I was raised Episcopalian, and my parents also in the 1960s helped started a church that was very focused on peace and justice and social action. And my mom, her original church, the minister preached a sermon against Martin Luther King, and she never went back there. And I have the greatest memories of going to church as a kid. We just had a ball, and it was, you know, we had the Sunday school class. If you were in the cool crowd, you could sing "Bye Bye Miss American Pie." I always looked forward to going to church. So then, in the 70s, my parents got divorced, and a lot of the other people that started the church also, they were couples with young children, and they got divorced also, and the church went under, and we didn't go to church after my parents got divorced. And I went through, I think like a lot of other gay people, especially gay boys, I had a pretty rough adolescence, and I was an outcast at school, and I was teased a whole lot, and it was just an extremely painful time in my life with my parents' divorce, and I was very lonely, and you know, at times I was suicidal. I was a depressed adolescent. And my family life was pretty chaotic at that point. My mother was struggling after not working. She had to go back and find a job. And it was a hard time. And eventually we started going back to church. And we went to another really neat church. And the minister there was just a wonderful, wonderful man who changed my life. And he wasn't a real religious person at all. He was very funny, very outgoing, and really cared about us, cared about me. And at that time, when it felt like no one else cared about me in my life, here was this person that, you know, was reaching out to me and was just a wonderful person. And you know, when in our youth group we would talk about social issues. We didn't read the, you know, all the texts of the Bibles and say, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. We would go to soup kitchens and we would talk about war and peace and all that kind of stuff. And I loved that. I loved going to church, and it was just a part of who I was. And before in between time, it was a struggle where I sort of thought that it was a bunch of hypocrites and it was all phony and, you know, people that just mindlessly went to church and it didn't affect their lives at all. But in this minister, I guess I felt love, and I saw somebody that was living a life that I thought was had integrity. And so I don't really feel like I've ever left the church at all. And I've had a very positive experience. This minister also, from the sermon at my church, preached a sermon saying that gay people were like left-handed people, and that, you know, he was very positive of gay people that were at our church also, and helped help people that were in the coming out experience. And at that time in high school, there was no way I would have ever come out, but it was a refuge for me in an otherwise really painful part of my life. And then I went to a Quaker college, which was also a really meaningful place for me. And I also felt, I mean, part of the reason that I went there was because I felt that same kind of safety and love and nurturance. And at that college, it was a very small college, and the majority of people there were heterosexual, but they were very, very sensitive to homosexuals and to gay people coming out. And my freshman year, I was scared to death, because I mean, growing up in Louisville, Kentucky is not, it's not a bastion of gay rights or anything like that. And I was scared to death, and, you know, I thought to myself, literally I thought to myself, well, I'll wait until my parents die before I come out, you know, before anything. It was beyond my imagination that I could actually say I am gay. And I couldn't say that for so long. But in that nurturing environment, I grew to love and accept who I was and to be proud of who I was. And the reason I go to church is a lot like what Lori was saying. I mean, it's a part of who I am. It's a part of my tradition. It's where I live in community with other people and we share our pain and joy. And I think, I don't want to dote on Spirit of the Lakes or anything like that, but in terms of Dan's sermon tonight, I've never been touched in a church like I am in Spirit of the Lakes. And I'm not a very emotional person, and I cry in church. It touches me so deeply. And it touches that part of me that was the outcast as an adolescent. and it touches the part of me that hated myself. At that.
Dan Spencer?
I'm Dan Spencer. I think I can get really brief with this. It was really fun time. Actually, it was really terrifying trying to prepare for this, but it was also pretty fun. And one of the things that happened was just before Vespers, I spent part of the time in Deanne Lagerquist's session in here in the church's Chamber of Identity, which was really wonderful. She had us do a congregational, what I had called, I don't know what she calls, but I call it a congregational autobiography, of tracing the different congregations and churches we've been in and how each one of them had shaped and influenced us. And it was really helpful for me to look back at each one of the different faith communities I've been part of and what they each gave to me. I grew up in a Roman Catholic church, which I rejected for a long time, but looking back, realized it gave me a deep reverence for God and a deep love of liturgy. In my reaction to the Catholic Church in college, I participated in a Baptist church, which gave me a real love for a personal relationship with God. It was everything I didn't have growing up in a Catholic church. And so for 4 years, that was a very meaningful community for me. But it also made me realize that I had a real watershed experience in my faith communities when I came to Holden about 11 years ago. And at that point, I had been struggling for many years with my sexuality and had not come out to anybody, had spent 6 years praying every day to be changed into a heterosexual. And finally was so depressed, I was ready to commit suicide, but I decided to give one last shot at things and came to Holden to sort of get away from things and to think about things for a little bit. And it was here at Holden 10.5 years ago that I came out to the first person ever face to face. And very fortunately, it was a very gracious person who convinced me that I didn't need to kill myself and that there was hope and that it was possible to be Christian and gay. I call that a watershed experience for me because out of that came a very firm commitment for me that I would never again participate in a church that didn't affirm gay and lesbian people in some way. And that had narrowed significantly the options in terms of looking for a church body. And what it also did was pretty much for many years pushed me to the fringes of the church. But that was a pretty wonderful place to be, actually. And so when I left Holden, went to seminary, came back to Holden for a year, came out of Holden to the Holden community. We spent a year talking about what that meant. It was a real learning time for me. I went to the community of St. Martin in Minneapolis, helped get that community started, and we started it from the very beginning as a community that would be affirming of gay and lesbian people. And I had 4 wonderful years in the community of St. Martin. But even in that time, began to realize I needed more community with gay and lesbian people of faith. There were only a couple of us in the community who were gay or lesbian, and so I needed to have some more time and space for that. That eventually led me to Spirit of the Lakes, and which has been a wonderful place for me in terms of finding that community and support of other gay and lesbian people of faith. I look at my community of St. Martin and my Spirit of Lakes communities as two wonderful parts of my life where I kind of shifted the balance. I've had a long-standing commitment in my own life to be what I consider to be a bridge or an agent of reconciliation between gay people and non-gay people and the alienation that separates us. And what I realized in retrospect, in the community of St. Martin, I was trying to base myself in a community that was primarily not gay and to reach out to people in the gay community for that reconciliation. And after a while, that left me spiritually dry. I wasn't finding the resources I needed to do that. And so I've sort of shifted, and now my base of supporting community are the gay and lesbian people who understand at a deep level my experience. And out of that base, I find I can continue to reach out for work for reconciliation with other people, but be renewed in the process. So that's helped me understand and affirm both of those experiences. So very briefly, well, I stay in the church both because of the great joy the church has given me through introducing me to and nurturing the faith, and also because of the tremendous pain and suffering the church has caused me, the loneliness and isolation I've felt so many years. Both of those things are real important reasons about why I stay. At its best, the church is a wonderful community, and it's the place I find the most hope for our world. I find the church at its best to be such a strong advocate for the oppressed, and that for me is the heart of the gospel. And so in the church, I find a community of other people that are that want to do that. But the church has also been such a horrible persecutor of gay and lesbian people, and I have a real strong commitment not to let that continue anymore. This has been a real hard day for me here at Holden. I have to live here for another 2 months, and it's pretty scary. But I do it because I know, sitting in this room, there are other gay and lesbian people who have been where I've been, and it's really a scary place to be. And I just always go back and thinking, if I'd ever heard anybody talk about it, it would have made a big difference. So I don't want other gay and lesbian people to have to go through what I've gone through. And I want to be part of helping our church become an agent of liberation for all people and not one of oppression. So those are the reasons I stay. It both nurtures and fulfills me, and I also want to be part of the church's transformation.
I think the honest reason that I've stayed in the church is that God doesn't let me get out of here. I feel like a real Jonah figure, and every time I have run away and been pissed off at the Ninevites, I find myself back in the church, and I look at what has happened at Spirit of Lakes as, I look at the birth of Spirit of Lakes as a real miracle, and it's incredible to me how much has happened in 20 months from a, some of you are probably clergy, from a pastor's perspective. I'm really in heaven because these people are real representative of the congregation that I serve, and I've never been associated with the body of Christ, which is this compassionate, is this real about human life and our life together as a church. And as I was listening to you all, I thought, as you spoke about our worship services, like, I thought, what do you do there? And so I just want to let you know that our demographically, Spirit of the Lakes is very much fits the demographics of Minnesota, and we're like 50% Catholic backgrounds and 50% Lutheran backgrounds. And if you came to worship at Spirit of the Lakes, you would experience a very traditional liturgical format, including some borrowings from the Green Book of Worship, but with a radical commitment to inclusive language, a radical commitment to using the inclusive language lectionary, and a tremendous music department, communion every Sunday, which is a very central part of the worship life of Spirit of the Lakes. A commitment from the beginning that we were a worshiping community, and all else would come from that, sort of the seek ye first principle, and that has happened. And the Spirit is really alive among us and in our ministry. And I can't deny that, and I don't need to proclaim that it exudes. So that's it. I'm tired of talking about this. You want to go back to being an anonymous, shy Minnesota person?
Well, thank you to all of you. A number of people have said the word scary, and it must be really scary to be here. I think it's a scary day in some ways for all of us, yet a really exciting one. This is the first time a day like this has ever happened. And I feel really privileged to have all of you here, so thank you. Why don't we open it up to everyone now? You've heard five people's stories, and maybe we can hear ways that connects with some of you or touches your own story, responses to the stories you've heard, reflections on your own experience, questions, whatever, and you panelists can feel free to jump in too and respond. And I'll try to see hands here.
The people who have talked tonight have all mentioned that they weren't able to find spirituality in a normal Christian church, what we call normal, until they got the Spirit of the Lake. I'm wondering if you could respond to the question of, do you think it is possible for gay and lesbian people to feel comfortable in a normal Christian church or a non-gay lesbian Christian church at some point in the future? Certainly doesn't seem like it happens now. Do you think it could happen in the future, and what would it take for that to happen?
I'd like to say something that I think that in my experience, I certainly found spirituality in all the churches that I was a part of, and I can still go back to my church of childhood and church of college, whatever, and feel some closeness to God. There are also some churches in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area that are open and affirming to gay and lesbian people. One of the First Congregational Church of Minnesota is one of those that is primarily a non-gay church, but has many gay and lesbian members. And so I think there are churches that are more looked upon as normal, if you want to put it that way. There's a Lutheran Reformation church that's the same way. So I think that congregations one by one are changing. I guess it's not that we as gay and lesbian people need to seek you out. I think that you who are a part of those congregations need to think about opening yourselves up to different ways of thinking and worshiping that perhaps cut other people out too. I think, women in general may feel some cut off from some churches. Certainly that's not been my experience in the Presbyterian Church, although I'm learning more and more about how Presbyterians are terrible to women. But I grew up in a liberal Presbyterian church, so that wasn't a problem for me. But Lauren, I think you were too.
I just had two thoughts. One is that since I've had the experience of finding a home at Spirit of the Lakes, I find that I'm much more interested and open into going to other churches now, and that I can, it's like I can hear a little better or something. I don't know exactly what that means. I guess because I've done some healing at Spirit of the Lakes. Also, as we walked out of Vespers tonight, I said to Dan Spencer's, I was crying, and I said, wow, it happened here too. I mean, I had that experience here tonight with all of you, with this community.
The United Church of Christ has a program called Open and Affirming. I think the Lutherans, it's called Reconciled in Christ. And Spirit of the Lakes went through the same process, and it was not without debate. And we became an open and affirming congregation of heterosexual people. And what we're seeing now is that as heterosexuals come out of curiosity, they're starting to stay. And we even have non-gay members who are finding that the Holy Spirit is present in our community in a way that it's not in their church of origin. And maybe there's some interesting parallels to draw with, for example, base communities in Central America about or the message of Amos about where the Spirit is found.
I think that that of course there's spirituality in you know in all sorts of churches for gay and lesbian people. I think that the idea of having a publicly stated affirming church is very, very important for gay people, because otherwise the assumption is that this is not a safe place to be open and to be yourself, because that's the way most of the world is. So I would, you know, strongly recommend that churches go through the process that Holden is going through right now, and that and figure out if they want to do that and then state it publicly, and then gay people, I think that creates a safe place for them to be who they are and to worship, you know, anywhere they want to.
And our parents, and our friends, and our cousins. It's not just us who hold that secret inside for fear of judgment from the church.
Marty, you had a
Oh, yeah. I was one of the things that sometimes when we're talking, it sounds like the gay and lesbian people are in the gay and lesbian church and they're not in, you know, straight churches. You know, the truth is that probably 5 to 10% of the people in our churches are also gay and lesbian. And some of them have come out, maybe not to their congregations, but my experience in the people that have come out in our congregation is that the toughest time they have is with their own families. Now, I don't know if that's your that's part of your experience, but you know, when you partly were talking about that before, the brothers and the sisters and people who and I've had two funerals now of people who have died of AIDS, and the toughest thing for the families is to tell everybody that that's what the people have it, and it isn't for the person, but it seems to be so difficult for the rest of the family.
Yeah, I think you've hit a really important dynamic on the head. I often when talk with people say that, you know, oftentimes when we as gay and lesbian people come out of our closets, our family members go into theirs, and it's really a tough thing. I did that with my own family. My family has been tremendously supportive. But I came out to my parents almost 10 years ago, and it was a year ago that my mom told her best friends that her son was gay. She had been very supportive of me all along, but it was really hard for her to face what she feared would be the kind of stigma that she would have from her friends and her community people. And that's, I think, what Dan was saying in terms of when we look at this issue in terms of how it affects all of our worshiping communities, our churches. It's not only the gay and lesbian people who are affected by churches that exclude us, it's lesbian people who have brothers or sisters or parents or children, whoever, who we can't talk about that, and that gets very painful. You know, when you were asking about what does this mean for other churches, I don't think it so much has to do with being gay or lesbian. I think one of the real gifts that we're finding among gay and lesbian Christians is we're really struggling and trying to find ways that we integrate our sexuality and our spirituality. And as we do that, we're finding that all people experience our, whatever your sexuality is, it's a very powerful and important part of who we are. And unfortunately, it's one of those parts that through the years has been really marginalized in the church. And what happens then is that people have to cut out a big chunk of who we are every time we walk through the church doors. What we're finding at places like Spirit of the Lakes and other places I've been, it's not what the nature of the sexuality is, it's the fact that we're allowed to integrate our sexuality. And so we get heterosexual people coming to the church who've been divorced, they've had some part of it, but they aren't able to talk about it in their home congregations. And it's not that it's either gay or straight, it's the fact that we're able to integrate who we are as sexual persons, as spiritual persons, and celebrate both of them as good. I think that has tremendous promise to the larger church, and I think when churches can start celebrating who we are as whole human beings, regardless of where we sit on the scale of orientation, that's when all people, not just gay and lesbian people, will start to feel welcome.
Okay, other stories?
I have a question to anyone. I'm curious about how you negotiate your different religious backgrounds, some being more evangelical, some more traditional, do you, music, all of that stuff, how does it work out? A little bit of everything, or even theology, some being more conservative maybe, some more liberal.
We started the process of affiliating with the United Church of Christ and feel at home with them because the congregational tradition, which starts with the Pilgrims, is very compatible both with our church structure and our theology. In the UCC, in Congregationalism, historically, the church is defined as a covenantal body, not a creedal body. So when we join the church, we're not joining the Augsburg Confession, for example. We're not committing ourselves to that. We're committing ourselves to each other to be the church together. And having that as a theological orientation allows a community like Spirit of the Lakes, where there is theological diversity, it allows us to come together and be part of a larger tradition that reinforces how we can be the church together, and that's real helpful. Being part of a larger denomination sets up accountability structures for us and gives us access to conference ministers and things to help us out with that. We fit real well into that congregational tradition because as a primarily gay and lesbian congregation who comes out of the kind of life experiences you've been hearing about, hierarchy and the authority of the church is something it's important for us to avoid, or we can't be a community together. And so we take our congregational meetings as seriously as New England congregationalists do, and they last a long time, and they're very feminist in the sense of everybody shares their feelings, and we try to reach consensus, and that can take a long time. But I hate sitting through them, and I want to have the power to make decisions. But what I've found is that, on the other hand, it's a really exciting process because I think as a community, for example, we had to discuss, as we submitted our church constitution to the United Church of Christ for them to vote on, we had a long discussion about baptism and where that was going to fit into our community, and where we're going to require that for membership, I don't suppose how many churches sit down and talk about what baptism means to them and really struggles with that and theologizes together as a community, and that's just one example. But so we're how it works is that we take seriously being a community that theologizes together and whose, the United Church of Christ defines church as the people of God in meeting to discern and do Christ's will. And that's what we do at Spirit of the Lakes, and it takes time. but we experience the Spirit present co-creating our identity with us, and it's an emerging identity, and it's exciting.
The UCC Church has also declared that sexual orientation and preference is not to be considered in ordination.
National.
I mean, they have made a national statement.
The UCC made its first pronouncement for civil rights in 69, ordained their first openly gay person in 72. Incidentally, they ordained their first woman in 1856, so like this is new, it's a tradition. And in 1983 kind of summed all this up by the statement that homosexuality is not a moral issue. It's what we do with our sexuality, you know, not sexuality per se. So Spirit of the Lakes gave them the opportunity to incarnate their pronouncements, and they came through with that.
Okay, I want to pull moderator here. We have only about 4 minutes left, and I know we have got a panel of experts up here, but I'd like to invite now, just for the last few minutes, some of your stories and how this connects with you. So not so much questions to the panel of, you know, information or whatever, but hearing connections of with what you've heard tonight with your own lives and why you stay in the church, or, you know, how some of the question that we've posed tonight connects with your own experiences too.
Well, being a member of a normal Christian church and hearing the fact that yours is not normal, but hearing the spirituality that flows between you and hearing the inclusiveness and the love and the caring that's coming from all of you, I just wish I could take back some of your abnormality.
Understanding, but I keep hearing tonight that you found a place in your churches that feels safe, and I guess I think that most of us heterosexuals feel safe going into our churches being kind of dishonest with who we are, and what you're demanding is that you're able in your place of worship and in your walk of faith to be honest and to be accepted for who you are. And I think that many, many of us need to come out of the closet and be willing to do that in all of our churches and say, this is who I am, this is what I've done and what I've been, and to have that sense of community with one another. And the model that you've given us is a beautiful one, and one that we can go from here and take with us.
In the sermon that you gave this evening, you talked about the serpent or the dragon. And the last words that you said were regarding the moral issue and whether the moral issue was there. And I think that's the dragon, what you use your sexuality for as opposed to what you are. And I think that's the fear. In other words, this dragon that's at the feet of Mary is still on a leash for fear that it may turn itself against that again. And that, I think, is the fear that I would have of a homosexual person.
Okay.
Would be the image that I see is a wanton, promiscuous sex fiend who has, 500 relations a year or things like this. This is the sort of image that comes out of it. And the last comment, Dave, is it? Dan?
Dan.
The last comment that you made, I think was, to me, was the crux of it, was that it wasn't so much your orientation, but it was how you managed your orientation. Because I could be the same thing in any of these areas if I chose to. I don't know if I'm being clear on this or not.
Kind of.
Listening to you, I guess you can ask a little bit for our own stories. I have a feeling of grief for my gay friends that don't experience spirituality the way that you describe it, so creatively and so in exciting ways. Most of, outside of Dan, most of my gay male friends have left the church, you know, 15 years ago and have never returned. And I, over the years, haven't known how to minister or be a friend to them in the spiritual way that I am with my other Christian friends, because I know that they are just so so painfully kind of broken there that I don't know how to address that. So that's a source of grief.
We'll just take a couple more because it is 9:30 here.
I just want to say that I admire all you people for one, and I feel that you're very lucky, because I myself am struggling with my religion, because I'm like a mutt. I'm just a mixture of all this different stuff that I went through. And for you to be able to go someplace and know what you are and who you are and be able to go to a church and express that is so nice, because I have so much guilt and stuff inside, because, you know, I mean, the Bible, you know, what's right, what's wrong, you don't know, you know, and you have Catholic friends who are telling you one thing, and Lutheran friends who tell you another, and you're trying to decide, and you don't know which way to go, and sometimes you just, you know, I mean, the fact that you guys actually have some place where you can express yourself and explain it, it seems so a lot nicer than where I'm standing right now, because where I'm standing right now, it's on the brink of, you know, something, and I just want to say that you guys should feel very lucky that you do have some place to go, because the people who are totally confused and don't know what to do have no place to go. Yeah, I'm just sitting here going,
we go to normal churches.
Yeah.
Okay, one here, and then Joe, we'll let you have the last word, Joe Harbinger, over here. How's it?
Well, I'd just like to feel that we all kind of have a commission that you've given us to go back and hand the Bible back to everyone in that church. I felt like the Bible was taken away from me for many reasons, and it has been handed back to me, but I think there's a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, we've taken that away from them. And I would hope that we would reevaluate how we present the gospel and our God, that it can be handed back to everyone.
Joe.
Santa Cruz, California, where I live, is a place where a lot of gay and lesbian people are and have come out of the closet in a big way. It just struck me tonight that it's really neat to realize that this is the first time I've ever knowingly come into contact with gays and lesbian who were so, or at all Christian, but especially so deeply and devoutly Christian. It may be that the ones in Santa Cruz have trouble coming out of the closet about their Christianity.
Well, okay, thanks to everyone. Thanks to our panel and to all of you who share. We've heard a diversity of viewpoints, and we want this conversation to be able to continue, hopefully, through the day tomorrow and through the years at Holden as well. And thanks for putting yourselves out in front of us so well tonight. We'll take a 5-minute break here now and invite all of you, any of you, to stay for some conversation now with Scott Hosserud, just sort of reflecting on the day. Maybe we can just continue in the same mode if you want, but we'll let at least these people be off the hot seat here for the time being. Thanks.